Sophia, do you ever have a long list of things that you need to do, but no motivation to do them?
Definitely. There are days when I try all the classic tips, like breaking the task down, visualizing the reward, visualizing the pain of not finishing each task, and I'm still laying in bed and scrolling through TikTok. But then there are other days when I feel really excited and motivated and just full of energy to do the things that I want to do.
I feel that so much because every day can be this push and pull of looking at a long to-do list or just a hefty task and not feeling up for it. So I want to figure out how do we motivate ourselves and what are some tried and true ways we hype ourselves up to do the job.
Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we share the underrepresented perspectives that shape our lifelong journey of learning and unlearning. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Talon. Thanks for joining us. We share episodes every Sunday. If you're new, welcome. We are so happy to have you here. After you tune into this episode, be sure to check us out on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass for highlights from this episode that you can share with your friends.
Great. So let's start with some context. I'm curious, like, where in your life you've been feeling the most motivated and where you've noticed a lull in motivation. For me, I've been feeling really motivated to keep my room tidy. The sun is out in Seattle. Life just feels less dreary. I used to just see my room as just like sad gray place to be, just because I have a really big window, so the weather really dictates my mood. But now it's sunny outside and I just feel like full of energy and life, and I just feel like cleaning up my room more and making it a more cozy space.
Yeah, just in time for spring cleaning too.
Yes.
So for you, it sounds like the weather really and the environment really impacts what you're motivated by. I think for me lately, I've actually been very motivated for this podcast. I think because it's
Ooh.
something that is fully our own project, and knowing that if I'm not putting in the work, then nothing's going to be coming out of it. I think that is really motivating to me, and knowing that I have an accountability partner who is you, who is also counting on me, I think is a big motivator. And we also have that balance of having a lot of freedom to get to choose the content we want to talk about and to change our minds whenever. And so I definitely feel really motivated in that sense.
That's great. Yeah, the best part of my week is getting to make the outlines for our episodes. I've definitely never felt unmotivated to do that, which is amazing. Like, we've been doing this for 3.5 years, and it's
For
still
sure.
the thing that's easiest for me to motivate myself to do.
Yeah, it's not, we're not just trying to gas ourselves up in this episode, but it's just genuinely that is something that I've been feeling the most motivated. What about biggest lull in motivation for you?
Man, it's work. I feel like I've been working on a lot of the same problems. I really need some novelty and inspiration. But at the same time, I also want a break from work. And so I'm not really sure what I need in my work life to feel more inspired again. But lately, it's been a lot of work that feels challenging, but also the same types of challenges as I've been working on before.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest lull in my motivation also has to do with work, in that I'm sending in a lot of applications as of late. And it's funny because it is kind of similar to podcasting, in that it's whatever I put in, I am going to get out. Like, I'm not going to hear back from a place if I don't send in my application or put in my due diligence. But I think not knowing how it's going to be received, and also not sure what they're looking for from the questions that they're asking me, I think makes me feel anxious, and as a result, less motivated to go ahead and just be as creative and experimental as I would be with the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. That's hard. I mean, it's nice to feel a lot of accountability and control, but also kind of tough to be like, oh my gosh, it's all on me. Like, if without me, it's not gonna happen. Yeah. What are some reasons that you've found, or what are some blockers for you to feel motivated?
I think when the road feels very long, and especially for a big task, and I don't always know the minute steps to take in order to break it down, Other times that I've been less motivated is when I'm not, honestly, when I'm not surrounded by people who are sharing that excitement as well. I definitely can take that on. If I'm in an environment that is really stressful and no one is enjoying the work that they're doing, I will absorb that for sure and end up feeling less motivated. Another thing would be me having so many other priorities going on and not knowing how to prioritize. And so I will continuously go back to the easy things that I know I can tackle and fill my time to do those things and not and avoid the topic or the task that I need to feel the most amount of motivation for.
I feel that so hard. I think if I were to add to that, it would be I feel unmotivated when I'm not looking forward to any of the steps on the journey. That's tough. I feel unmotivated when I wonder and doubt whether the goal is worth my effort. And also when I'm just not sure if my efforts are going to guarantee my success. You know, it's hard to be like, I could put in all this work and it could lead to nothing.
It could lead to nothing. Yeah. Especially if you have an expectation of what it should lead to and you not getting that, I think can be really demotivating. Even if there are byproducts of new things you learn about yourself or new skills that you take up, if that wasn't your intention, that can be really demotivating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like we've both gone through some hard times. Let's hear what are some tips for getting motivated?
Yeah, so I would say our first couple of tips have to do with this idea of discovering or rediscovering the passion, the why, and the light at the end of the tunnel for whatever it is you are needing motivation in. So I have a couple of examples, and I'd love to hear some of your examples of how you discover that passion and why. For me, sometimes watching a video or listening to a podcast about someone who really inspires me. Maybe it's someone who's done something similar. I love to hear about their enthusiasm and their own motivation, and their passion gets me inspired. And it kind of takes me back to that wide-eyed child effect of, oh, wow, like I want to be like them when I grow up, but kind of like, oh, they went and did the thing that I am about to do, and how great would it feel that I can kind of be like emulate them in some way by reaching the end. So one concrete example would be I have been writing an animated feature, and that can be really demotivating because there are so many pages that you have to write and it feels like the feedback is endless. There's a perfectionism loop there. But I recently watched Turning Red and watched the making of Turning Red documentary as well. And watching Domishi talk about how excited she was to create this film and the team that she was able to gather together really inspired me to kind of see like, okay, by starting with a script, you can really go, you have no idea how far you can go. And it could potentially be something like Turning Red. And so that was really motivating for me.
I love that. To kind of build on what you said, what helps me is to visualize what it would mean for this goal to come to fruition and to really, really just like close my eyes and internalize how would I feel? What would my mornings look like? What would my evenings look like? How would I, like, who are the people I would get to meet? Just really visualizing every detail, every in and out of what it would feel like to achieve that goal helps me be more inspired. So that's tip number two.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big pot of gold that is waiting for you at the end of the rainbow. And if you, the more you think about it, the more things and perks and benefits are added into that pot for you to look forward to. I love that.
Yeah. And also, when you, after visualizing it, write it all down so you can remember it and get back in that headspace.
Sometimes, though, I feel that what reading or being inspired by other people might not be enough to motivate me. And so I also like to journal about my why. So I find that sometimes I do have to come up with something that feels tailored to me. Like I can hear, you know, all of the TED Talks, all of the inspirational conversations. But if it doesn't really feel authentic to me and something that truly innately motivates me, then I will never be able to muster that up. So for example, I oftentimes struggle with motivation to work out. And I've heard all the reasons why working out is important. It's good for your health. It's good for your mental health. I will feel more confident in the clothes that I wear, just et cetera, et cetera. But the why that I ended up landing on that really helped me was reminding myself that each time I work out is actually a vote of confidence to myself that I am able to follow through on a personal desire or endeavor without yes. accountability from anyone else. And so that's really helped me. And that's not something I got to hear often through all of those Instagram, YouTube videos about working out. And so it really came down to just me journaling about why would this matter to me?
I love it. I love that you reframed the motivation in your own words and you found a motivation that felt really generalizable, because mm-hmm. if you can keep promises to yourself, then that's like a skill and a sense of confidence that applies to every area of life. That's really good. I love mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. For me, tip number 4 is to surround yourself with people with the same goals and motivation. So set up group chats with friends who are going through the same thing. Follow people on Twitter. You know, surround yourself both physically and digitally by people who are working towards the same thing and who are going to be sharing updates that inspire you to also get to a place where you can share updates.
Yeah, because sometimes seeing someone who is successful, you can feel a distance from them. And so finding mm-hmm. people who are along a similar journey as you and in a similar stage can also motivate you, because you're kind of like, oh, we're all in this together and we're all kind of rising up and tackling all of these things that isn't actually necessarily unique to me, and you can feel a sense mm-hmm. of community as a result.
Yeah, and a sense of possibility. You know, other people are doing it. Other people mm-hmm. have done it. Yeah, I wanna catch up in like mm-hmm. a motivating way.
Yeah.
Speaking of your environment, another idea that I learned from Kevin actually is the power of getting a body double.
And so, oh, this what does that mean?
Yeah, it just means having someone mirroring you. So it could be on a video call with a friend, or maybe even at a library or at a cafe, someone sitting directly across from you. And the idea is that when you sense that person there, they keep you accountable. And you're kind of, and when you see someone else working, it kind of gets your body in the mode of like, oh, well, I should be working too. And so mm-hmm. you kind of like trick yourself into staying on track.
So another way of putting it is going on work dates or study dates yeah. with people. Mm-hmm. That's
and
really
it could
great.
Be, it could be digital too. So just having friends on a video call.
Mm-hmm.
And then tip number 6 is to change your environment to build new associations. So a lot of times you might find that when you go on a trip or when you go somewhere new, your routine, you start completely from scratch. And so it's really easy to insert new habits or to start something new because everything is new. So you can kind of like start from the blank slate and you can build mm-hmm. these new associations. Mm-hmm. And so I found that when I go on a trip, that's actually sometimes I find myself really easily motivated to work out or mm-hmm. to eat really healthy, because it's like, oh, everything is new. I can try something new. And mm-hmm. there's like all these open slots for me to slot in a new habit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tip number 7 regarding your environment is to deep clean your room. When I minimize physical clutter, I also minimize mental clutter and mental mm-hmm. stress. Mm-hmm. And I start seeing myself as someone who's an organized person. And that self-perception is really important. There's this book called Atomic Habits, which I know you like as well. And it talks about how when you set goals, the goals that are the easiest to pursue are the ones that align with your existing view of yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you view yourself as, I'm a neat person, or like, I have the potential to be a neat person, then any goals that are relating to that identity are easier for you to internalize, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine if it was the opposite. Imagine if you're like, I'm such a slob. Oh my gosh, looking around my room, it's so messy. Everything is reinforcing that I'm a slob. Oh no. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be really hard for you to internalize and, you know, dedicate your time to something that helps you become more motivated, because it's almost like your body almost rejects that goal.
Yeah.
Because it's so different. Yeah.
So, and sometimes that belief of yourself can be really deeply ingrained in you. And something that Atomic Habits talks about is you can kind of prompt yourself by asking, oh, what would a neat person do?
Mm-hmm.
And a neat person would do this. let me try being a neat person today. And so kind of even putting on that costume could eventually lead to it becoming your everyday suit or everyday wardrobe almost that mm-hmm. you put on, and you'll hopefully no longer see yourself as a cluttered person and as more of a neat person. And there are so many connotations of decluttering and being a neat person. I think that has a lot to do with feeling organized, like you mentioned, feeling successful, feeling like you got your shit together, and that can all lead to greater motivation as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we talked about kind of discovering the passion and the why, as well as dealing with your environment. Let's say that we're still struggling with motivation. I think then what you might want to consider is deciding what steps you're going to take.
Tip number 8 is a little bit unintuitive, and it was unintuitive to me when I first heard it, but then I tried it and it really worked. And the idea is to create more flexible rules for achieving your goal. There's this one study that I read about where the researchers were trying to get people to exercise. And so to one group of people, they're like, okay, you have to exercise every single day. And then to the other group, they said, you have to exercise every single morning. And for some people, you might think like, okay, exercising in the morning, that's creating a more concrete plan to exercise. But actually, that could end up hurting you, because you might end up thinking like, oh, let's just say one morning you forgot to exercise and now it's the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You might be like, oh shoot, like I already missed the window of exercise. There's no point in going. And you just like kind of give up, right? And so many times you could help yourself by creating more flexible rules for achieving your goals, such as, hey, as long as I exercise sometime today or sometime this week, then that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that tip, because I have definitely fallen into that trap of, it kind of goes back to, I think we talked about SMART goals in the past in a couple episodes, and sometimes being very specific about what you want to achieve or like what you want to do can be exciting, because it creates a clear visual of what your day would look like. But also at the same time, if I miss that 7:15 a.m. wake-up call, then I'm probably not going to feel that good about myself. And I think you also kind of shoot yourself in the foot with that, because, for example, if it's like healthy eating, let's say, and you're like, I'm going to dedicate to healthy eating like the whole time, and then you fail the first meal, then you're like, oh well, like I already wasn't able to do it, so what's the point of doing it later on?
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
I really love that tip. Speaking of atomic habits, there's tip number 9, which I learned from the book, which is called habit stacking. So we will link a blog post to habit stacking specifically in our episode description, but I have a small excerpt from that blog post. So it says that you probably have very strong habits and connections that you take for granted every day. For example, your brain is probably very efficient at remembering to take a shower each morning, or to brew your morning cup of coffee, or to open the blinds when the sun rises. Thousands of other daily habits. So when it comes to building new habits, you can use the connectedness of behavior to your advantage. And one of the best ways to build a new habit is to identify a current habit that you already do each day and then stack your new behavior on top. And this is called habit stacking. So a simple formula for habit stacking is, after or before your current habit, I will establish a new habit. So for example, let's say you always pour yourself a cup of coffee every morning. You can say, after I pour my cup of coffee each morning, I will meditate for 1 minute. And so that can really be applied to motivate you for a lot of other tasks and find ways to kind of trick your brain into finding this task to be very easy. So let's say your task, something that you dread doing all the time, is checking your emails and getting your email inbox to zero, let's say. You could do something like this, where it's like, after I pour my cup of coffee each morning, I will read 5 emails. And you already establish that cadence and that momentum to get yourself to work towards a goal that might have felt hefty in the past.
I love that. That's so clever. Mm-hmm. Have you tried this? I'm curious.
Yeah, so we talked about working out already. I think that's been something that has always been really hard for me. But now my habit stacking is, after I brush my teeth and wash up, I will go downstairs and lay out my yoga mat. And so by doing that, I've already kind of established that environment where I am going to work out. And once I've already laid out the yoga mat, I'm like, okay, well, I'm already here, so I might as well do something while I'm at it. And kind of going back to what you said about flexible rules, I don't force myself to do a committed, you know, workout program. I just kind of do whatever bodily movement I feel like doing that day, whether it's a YouTube video, stretching, yoga. And I think that always makes me feel good. Like, okay, I'm still crossing off those habits and being able to achieve those every single day. So that has been something that's been really effective for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like we often jump into these really big steps towards our goal, but we have to remember that if we build the habit, even like a very simple habit, it's like so much of a more stable starting point than trying to like jump into this difficult task right away. Like I know for people training for a marathon, it's not so much like, oh, I have to do one additional mile every single day. It's more just like, well, I'm going to go, you can start off very simple by being like, I'm just going to put on my running shoes and go jog literally any distance a day as a way to really ease into it.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have another tip when it comes to deciding what steps you should take to get motivated?
Yeah. My tip number 10 is thinking about what feeling do I want to experience when I achieve the goal? So for example, I would say that most of the time when we want to achieve a goal, it's not necessarily for the goal, but it's for how achieving the goal is going to make us feel. Mm-hmm. For example, if it's like, I want to get a new job. Okay, your goal is a new job, but the feeling is like this feeling of like, I'm in control of my career, or I can work and get to the place that I really want to be. So take that feeling and think about how can you give yourself like micro doses of rewards throughout the journey so that you're feeling that feeling along the way. And that has two benefits. One, you're by feeling those little moments of that feeling, you're like, oh, hey, I'm still convicted in wanting to work towards this ultimate feeling. And secondly, you get to feel a bit of a meaningful reward along the way. And so every step feels fun. And you don't reserve, you're not only feeling the great things until the very end.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like it's also like what you mentioned about microdosing. It's like giving yourself that reminder of what it would feel like when you do get to the end of that journey. And I think sometimes we glorify too much of the struggle bus that leads you up to the goal that you want to achieve, but you have to reward yourself at times in order to be able to feel like it's going to all be worth it, which kind of goes back to one of the reasons that you mentioned of why you may struggle with motivation, which is that is this all this effort actually going to be worth it and guarantee me my goal? So
yeah, and the idea is that even if you don't reach your goal, you felt a little bit of that satisfaction or fractions of that satisfaction already.
Yeah. I think that leads really well into our next section, which is about moving the needle. We actually already talked about this in a previous conversation about stress and how to make stress your friend. And so the first tip in this section, which is tip number 11, is to cross off anything on your to-do list, whether it's low-hanging fruit, really easy menial tasks. Sophia had mentioned washing the dishes before in that episode. Just doing any of those things to get the momentum going, because once you get the momentum going, it goes back to that self-perception of yourself of, wow, look at how proactive I am at tackling all of these things, and it will hopefully motivate you and lead you to create a snowball effect to get to that hefty task or something that you have just historically struggled to get motivated for.
Yes, I love that. And I love the small examples you mentioned, because I'm pretty sure at any point someone probably has one or two dishes to do, right?
Yeah.
So you can use this trick anytime. Similarly, tip number 12 is to define and celebrate small successes. And so I'll give another example with job searching. So one small success you can celebrate is, hey, I was in an interview and I heard an interview question and didn't immediately panic. That's huge. That is huge. Like if you can do that, and imagine you can do that once, you can do that twice, like you're get to a point where you can feel that confident in any question. Or another small success is I heard a interview question that I didn't explicitly prepare for, and I still did a good job. I was able to think on my feet. That's also huge, right? Like a successful interview, first of all, like the success of an interview is not completely in your hands. There's mm-hmm. so many factors beyond your control. But what you can control is ensuring that you recognize yourself and celebrate yourself for these small moments that are going to eventually lead to your final success.
I love this example particularly because I have a friend who is trying to break into the tech industry right now. And so they just went through their first coding interview and they were like, wow, like I really don't think I did that well. And they were really beating themselves up over it. Mm. And so I kind of let them in on my little secret, which was that there has rarely ever been a time where I feel come out of an interview and think I killed it. Like, I believe me that if I could feel that feeling, I would have been able to talk about it all this time.
Yeah.
And they were like, whoa, no way. Like, I don't believe you. And I think it's because people don't believe what goes on behind the scenes when all they hear about is the job, the fancy job offers that, you know, that's the fancy goal that I really wanted to get.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think those examples that you gave of like, I didn't immediately panic when I heard an interview question, or I was able to think on my feet for something that I didn't prepare for, that is a lot more meaningful to me than just on top of, you know, whatever name value job offer you do get. So I think that feeling is really important.
You know, recently I did a poll on my personal Instagram page and I asked, for the job that you have right now, how did you feel after your interview for this job? And the idea was like, okay, so the job that you're currently in right now, clearly you passed the interview, right?
Yeah.
And clearly you like the job enough to take it. So how well did you actually do in that interview? And surprisingly, the results were all over the map. Like there were some people who said, I thought I totally failed this interview and I was beating myself up for it. I was getting ready just to like be sad for the rest of the week. And then I got the job and I accepted the job.
Then
on the other side, there are people who are like, I thought I did really well, but I didn't. I didn't end up getting the job, but I soon after got the job that I really liked. So, you know, it's like your self-perception is so inaccurate. And also, as someone who has been conducting a lot of interviews, in the 45 minutes, I don't think there's any candidate who's impressed me for 45 minutes straight. Like everyone stumbles a little bit, but I'm not looking for a perfect 45 minute performance, right? I'm just gathering data points along the way. And once you tip the scale over, like if I feel like, oh, that was 60% great, 70% great, boom, you're in.
Yeah.
So you really don't need to be performing at your 100% to get a job that you want.
Wow.
And I don't think anyone is performing at their 100%. Like out of all people I've interviewed, I doubt any of them
felt. My knees are shaking every single time I'm standing at the whiteboard. Man, maybe we need to do an episode about how to feel like you aced your job interviews.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Our last topic on this episode about gaining motivation has to do with actually realizing that sometimes it's not about getting motivation for that specific thing. So if you're in a bad mood when it comes to, you know, motivation, you don't need to force it. And that's our tip number 13. And because if you do, it is likely that you could end up associating resentment and frustration with that task, especially if it's a task that you have to come back to later. So for example, again, I'm going to use the working out example. If I, you know, I'm telling myself I need to go work out at 7 a.m., which means I have to wake up at 6:30 a.m. and I wake up and I'm in such a bad mood that I woke up so early to do this workout, I'm probably not going to want to do it again, no matter how much I force myself. And the key is not to force myself to be motivated to do it. And it's actually more of like, okay, finding those systems and processes that will get me energized and hyped up to perform that same task. Clearly, we've talked about so many different ways that I could get motivated to work out, even if it's not waking up at 6:30 a.m. to work out at 7 a.m.
Totally. There's this misconception that if you can overcome a feeling of dread and frustration, then you'll feel extra good about yourself.
No, the next time you do it, you're going to think about that dread and frustration, for sure.
Totally. Like, think about all the times when you've had a particularly annoying task on your to-do list, and every time you look at it and decide to not check it off, you're reinforcing in your brain that this is something I don't want to do, mm-hmm. this is something I want to put off, and then it becomes harder and harder and harder for you to do it.
Yeah. And we talked about the feeling aspect. So if you're not feeling good about it, don't make yourself do it. I also think maybe this is a time of learning and redirecting your energy to give yourself a chance to get motivated. So let's say that you're realizing that between the time you set out to do this task till now, a lot has changed in your life, and you're realizing that you're actually not interested in this direction. So let's say, for example, Sophia, let's say that you were set out to be a PM on a fintech product. And from the time that you started doing it and up until now, you realize, oh, maybe I actually don't love the finance aspect. And at that point then, if you realize it, it's kind of like, now I'm just forcing myself to keep doing the tasks at hand. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can use that realization to motivate yourself to start up a conversation with your manager or coworker to find win-win situations, to be able to muster up, find avenues and holes where you know that you will feel motivated again. Mm-hmm. Or you can motivate yourself with the realization that there is something else you can look forward to. So maybe you're doing this, maybe you thought you were interested in the finance aspect, and this will easily also lead to a promotion. So maybe even if you're not as interested in that topic anymore, you can still motivate yourself with that light at the end of the tunnel, the promotion at the end. And so finding ways to be flexible with where you direct your energy can be helpful with motivation as well.
I love this. These are all amazing tips from our personal lives. And the last tip I want to give is to be attentive and pay attention to the things that work for you. You should reflect often on the challenges that you got through and the most difficult moments and what mindsets and what habits helped you to overcome them. Mm-hmm. And then let us know your best tips and we can share them with our community too.
Yes, we would love that. And so speaking of, you know, extra tips, in case people listen to this episode and enjoyed it, I think that there are a couple of episodes that we'd love to recommend from our slew of 170 plus. And so the first couple that I want to recommend come from the viewpoint of that sometimes you don't always know what is worth getting motivated for, which we alluded to earlier. And so maybe what helps is hearing some new ideas. So you can hear some ideas of goals that you can set by hearing some of ours that we've experienced over the past years and in 2022. So those are episodes 162 and 164, which are labeled What Makes a Goal Worth Pursuing. And each episode, 162 is Sophia's goals and 164 are my goals.
Nice. And we had another recent episode that's very relevant to this topic. And the idea is that, you know, sometimes motivation can be, sometimes stress can dim our motivation. So how can we make stress our friend? And we explore that question in episode 173, Your Guide to Making Stress Your Friend. Another episode is such a throwback, episode 12. My gosh, that was over 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, we talk about three articles about the topics of procrastination, analogical thinking, and emotional labor. So quite an interesting combination. Mm-hmm. We had a lot to say here. And we talk about how growing up with Asian immigrant parents influenced our ideas about discipline, procrastination, and motivation. We also examine the emotions that are involved in procrastination. This episode was really interesting because I think now that I'm talking about it, I remember so many things we discussed and they're so relevant. And they're ideas that I still keep in my mind today.
Yeah. And we'll also link the articles that are from that episode in our episode description. The last couple I want to recommend are actually episodes where Sophia spells out product management, which is a role where a lot of the responsibility involves rallying people and also getting others motivated, which will hopefully then motivate yourself. So that is 153, which is her solo episode called 10 Ways to Influence Without Authority, as well as episode 133, Product Management, Earning Trust and Leveraging Influence Patterns. And that episode, I'm part of the conversation and I'm basically like grilling Sophia on all my curious questions, and she answers all of them and gave me a really holistic view of what product management is like and a lot of tips and tricks that can apply outside of product management as well.
I'm so glad you enjoyed those episodes. It was such a very, very deep and detailed dive into what I do for work.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, it can be applied to so many other roles and even outside of work as well.
This was so fun. There are so many things I feel energized and motivated to go do now. So I'm going to go do them and end the episode here. If you enjoyed this episode and can think of someone who would also benefit from this episode, please let them know that we are on every podcasting platform. And hopefully you can listen to this with your friends and have further discussions about how you can be more motivated in particular challenges. And if you've been a long-time listener of Bamboo and Glass and you want to support us further, we have some ideas for you. You can share your thoughts and ideas with us on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass.
You can share our Instagram posts and episodes with loved ones and let them know that we're on every podcasting platform.
You can also treat us to a coffee, dessert, drink through Buy Me a Coffee.
Or invite us to your company, organization, or school to lead a workshop. We've done a couple of workshops. We've also linked the slew of workshops that we've led in the past in our link tree, which is available on our Instagram. And you can, if you are interested in moving forward and collaborating with us, you can DM us on Instagram or email us at bambooandglass@gmail.com. And with that, we will talk to you next Sunday. Bye.